Hello, I'm Justin Perkins of Talk Junkie. You could be listening to this podcast in a myriad of different places. You could be on the Talk Junkie podcast and listening, or you could be on the Retro Cult site listening. This first episode is going out over both platforms to kind of introduce people already familiar to me with the new show and give it some wings and maybe help it fly a little bit. But this is the first show of hopefully many for Retro Cult. I really enjoyed this particular podcast. It's one of what I hope to be two episodes over Halloween and horror movies that I'm going to do this month for the Halloween season, as it were. Hopefully, if our bad luck does not continue to follow us, I will have the gentleman from Raving Television Addict and Randomness Captured Alive. I have those two wonderful human beings on with me pretty soon. But for the first episode ever of Retro Cult, I bring to you the Spooky Family, or at least two-thirds of them, Gertie and Elliot. Unfortunately, we were not able to get Beagle tonight. But I didn't want you to hear this episode if you're listening on Talk Junk and go, what is this? And why is it here? And I didn't want you to hear this if you were, say, listening to Retro Cult and not know what it is you're about to listen to. This show's a lot different than Talk Junkie. It's more just me having fun, talking about things I'm passionate about. Mostly movies, music, games, prizes, TV, all those things, and a lot of Chevy Chase. So, without further ado, I'm going to give you just a little clip of a band from Louisville, Kentucky. The song is from the late 90s. It's got a clip from a movie you might recognize. I think that it may be pretty fitting for tonight's episode, but get on iTunes, go on Spotify, YouTube, wherever, and look up MSD. The name of the song is Priapism. And, you know, if nothing else, be sure that you enjoy tonight's episode and you get in contact with us. It's Retro Cult Podcast at gmail.com.
What are your qualifications?
Well, I attend a Juilliard. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Business School. I travel quite extensively. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a pretty good time during that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every single time I see it! Not to mention the fact that you're talking to a dead guy! Now, what do you think? I think I'm qualified.
What I mean is, can you be scary?
What do you think of this?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Retro Cult, the first episode ever. We just did 27 minutes of the best podcast you'll never hear because I didn't hit record. My name is Justin. You may know me from Talk Junkie. I have two really wonderful guests on with me tonight, Elliot and Gertie Spooky of the Spooky Family.
Hello. What's up, man?
And we're going to do this whole thing again. You guys really should have heard it. It was an excellent podcast. And then
I'm going to change my answers.
Let's mix it up.
Because I was just sitting here going, man, I really wish I could have said some other stuff. And look what happened. I feel like I did this.
I learned from the Spooky Family. I'm going to fix it in post. We really got well acquainted with the Spooky Family and talked a lot about their show in the last 27 minutes. And we also covered some really important topics that we're going to do on the show tonight. And I'm double checking. We are actually recording this time.
We also talked about Christmas. So I think it's okay if we,
This broke down quickly into a Chevy Chase Christmas podcast. So starting from the front, from the beginning, ready? Okay. Tell everybody a little bit about your guys' podcast and why in this, my first ever episode, I had to invite someone who has some experience in horror because I'm not. What do you guys do at the Spooky Family?
So the Spooky Family podcast is basically we say it's a lighter look into the darker side of the world. We like to take, you know, paranormal, occult, serial killer, Bigfoot, cryptid, UFO, aliens, stuff that people are scared of, and say, what's funny about it? And then we try to figure out, you know, what's funny about it. So,
you know, what's funny about serial killers?
Yeah.
Well, you guys have managed to make that topic somewhat funny. I'm not
we can. Lie. We can. We'll try. Listen,
we'll try our best.
We can't change what they've done, but we'll try to make it as light as we can.
No, the first two episodes of our podcast is about missing people in our national forest, and somehow we got it through that. So, you know, it's we just like to have fun, and we're a family. We're an honest-to-God family. It's me, my wife, Gertie, and her brother, who we call Beagle. He's not here tonight. He's out at a Bigfoot conference, not as a member of the conference, but as Bigfoot. So that's where he's at tonight. But we just try to have fun.
He's meeting other Big Feet.
He's their East Coast representative.
He is. He is the Appalachian West. Yeah, he's like he's the Yahoo, if that if that figures into it. But yeah.
And look, you guys definitely want to check out the Spooky Family, because they're right in the middle of one of the most interesting. I mean, what do you call it? I mean, I know you call it something different every time you say it, but like, I guess it's a bracket.
He forgets the acronym and how to say it every time.
I've got it now. It's the Ultimate Halloween Maniac Madness Countdown.
Featuring Clubber Lang.
Featuring Clubber Lang. Listen, the fact that Clubber Lang has made it to the Elite Eight is one of my greatest failures in life. And I don't really know how it's happened. I just know that I shake my head thinking about it. So
Beagle's a good salesman. That's how it's happened.
Listen, I don't know what he was on that day, like as far as what kind of brainwave. He's definitely not on any illicit substance.
But he convinced me. If you're going to listen to this, you need to go back and listen from the beginning. This has been an interesting process all the way out, and you've got time now. Because as soon as you hear this, if you go listen and get caught up, you've got time now to be there at the end. And there's still some voting. Do the fans still get to vote on some of these on the upcoming?
Yes, the fans, in fact, the final tournament will go, the brackets to vote will go live this week. We'll put it on our website, spookyfamilypodcast.com, and we'll share it on social media. But last time we got almost 100 and some responses. So, I mean, we're a brand new podcast, so that's pretty good. But yeah, we're down to the Elite Eight in each area, and we always count our listeners, you know, our listeners' answers too. So watch out for that. It's coming.
Well, it's October, according to the calendar, and I'm starting a podcast at the 1st of October, and it's a podcast about retro things, anything late 90s back, specifically 80s, but on back 70s. I mean, we may talk some Alfred Hitchcock, anything at any point on here. But if you're going to start a podcast like that, you're going to start it in October, you have to address the elephant in the room, and that is Halloween. One of my favorite holidays. I only have two holidays I really celebrate, so it's right up there in the top two. And I wanted to talk horror movies, and being that I'm not a real blood and guts horror guy, or not even really like a horror guy, like, that's my wife still. She does the sports and the horror. I do ridiculous things that nobody else wants to hear about. And I thought I'd have you guys on. We discuss Halloween. We discuss horror movies. And this is going to sound remotely familiar to Elliot and Gertie, maybe because they'd done this 32 minutes ago when I didn't hit record. But let's talk about that first visual representation of Halloween to you, that first cartoon movie, whatever it was you saw. It's not necessarily scary, but represents Halloween to you. And I got a feeling I know the answer, but Elliot, what is that? What's that first experience for you?
Well, strangely enough, I'm feeling a little deja vu here, but there's two for me. It's The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown and the Garfield Halloween Adventure. Both of those, they usually play them back to back on CBS. I don't think it was ever on ABC. I don't know, but it was always appointment television for me. I had to make sure I was watching those. To this day, whenever I get something weird, or I open up a bag of Pringles and it's more, or a tube of Pringles and it's more air than chip, I always say, I got a rock. you know, because that Charlie Brown, that line is my life in general. But yeah, those two for me really set off my Halloween season.
And Gert my dirt. Is that what was it that ODB used to say?
That's close, I think. Yeah. AKA. see, well, okay.
Hey, Mariah, go back like babies were pacified.
Oh, Lord. Let's see. Well, Ghostbusters, of course, like most people, especially Elliot.
I consider Ghostbusters a year-long thing. I don't consider it Halloween.
I know, like, but to me, like when I first was like cognizant of it, it was like, what is Halloween? What are costumes? Oh, you know, and then that kind of thing. And then I had a video store like right down the road from me where I would, you know, go and get all kinds of VHSs. And Ghostbusters was, you know, my mom and dad's pick. Be like, I guess that's a Halloween thing. So,
well, I'm definitely doing probably multiple episodes on video stores. I still collect VHS, not like over the top, just the ones I'm really crazy about or unique ones that I find. But to me, the video store is the greatest experience of my youth. And I would definitely say for me that first, because apparently Elliot and I are fairly close in age. We found out you're younger, but for me, it's definitely Charlie Brown. I've seen the Garfield, but I didn't find that till later on in life. My son actually found that. We've been watching that over the last couple of years. But a movie that, and this is kind of part of my psychosis on what I consider horror movies, that's kind of in that vein that I used to watch sometimes at Halloween and kind of associated with, it's not scary, it's not creepy, but I'm more of a comedy guy. So I always watched Clue. Growing up for whatever reason. And with Ghostbusters, I'm with Elliot. It is definitely a year-round movie for me. Like, it's one of those movies that when we made our trip to New York, I was specifically there just to reshoot as many parts from Ghostbusters as I could with my cell phone. And that's it. Beautiful city, wonderful experience. Nothing like I thought it would be. Miserably cold, unfortunately, because it was like February. But that was my whole purpose and had a ball because of that.
Absolutely. How many pictures do I have in front of Hook and Ladder 8, Gertie?
A bunch.
So many.
At least two different trips with you.
Two different trips. I've made sure that I've got to the Ghostbusters firehouse. Got to actually look inside and go a little bit inside last time because a nice firefighter was there and he was like, oh, yeah, there's nothing in here from the movie, but still, you know, I was like, yeah, I'll decide that, sir. You don't
decide that for me. I'll be the judge of that.
And, I was super excited today. So there's a Ghostbusters movie that's getting ready to come out in November, and they're having the New York Comic Con today, and the cast from the new Ghostbusters movie was actually at Hook and Ladder 8 today and was taking photos. So, you know, I'm ready for the new Ghostbusters movie, by the way. I don't know if anybody else out there is, but I'm...
New Ghostbusters may be as excited about a movie as I've been in the last 39 years of life. I really can't think of another movie that I've been that excited about. And I can't explain my love for it. I have no clue why, but I've seen it fairly young, you know. I remember it coming out, but I seen it on VHS. I did not see it in the theaters, obviously, but I seen it. I don't remember it coming out is what I meant to say. I seen it on VHS, but it's one of the first movies I seen that I thought, well, it's supposed to be scary, but it never did have that impact on me. It just was always funny to me.
Ghostbusters 2 is my favorite, and Elliot gets mad at me for that thought, but it is. It's my favorite. I watched it in the theaters, I think. I was very young, but...
I can remember watching it in the theaters.
I've seen it in the theaters. Sure. I remember the evening we went, because my dad and my brother, and I assume Mom... Sorry, Mom. Don't remember if she was there or not, because I was so focused on the movie. But the only reason I remember Dad being there is because we were leaving the little place we live. You know, I had to drive like 30-some minutes to a theater. And as we're pulling out, the skies are real pink and it's evening, you know, and it generally does that when it's going to rain or whatever. And Dad's like, you know, that's obviously the ghost and stuff coming out and stuff. And then you go see the movie and there's those little pink effects as they kind of swoop through the scene. I'm like, wow, Dad was right, you know. But I remember seeing it, and I remember being extremely, it and Ninja Turtles 2, I was extremely excited for in the theaters.
So the day I watched it, I remember it was me and one of my best friends from childhood, who I no longer get to talk to, but we had went to, gosh, we went to go watch Ghostbusters 2, and I was like, man, this is so much fun. Let's go watch this other movie. And our moms went, sure, that sounds fun. The other movie was Batman. So in the same day, we watched Ghostbusters 2 and Batman, and I'm almost positive that is in my head. I don't know exactly if that lines up as far as the calendar goes, but we were in Pikeville, and if you remember, there used to be two theaters in Pikeville, and one of them showed later movie, like movies that had been out for a while, and one showed an updated, you know, more current movie lineup, and I'm almost positive I watched Batman and Ghostbusters 2 in the same day. Because I even remember Lethal Weapon 2 had a trailer on one of those movies. So that's how much of an impression Ghostbusters and stuff has left on me.
Wow, that's like the Charlie Sheen definition of winning. Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 and Batman. I mean, minus the cocaine and prostitution. But, you know, at the base of it, what's actually winning, that's pretty awesome.
It was a good day.
So, as a kid, you know, a young kid, I can remember the first movie I ever seen that I classify as horror. And I got a weird definition maybe of what that is, because there's movies that people say are horror movies that I don't quite get. But what was that first movie, Gertie, that you saw as a child? And I'll pretend I didn't hear it 30 minutes ago when I didn't hit record. What was that first movie that was your first horror movie, your first scary movie?
An actual, like, this sounds bad, but an adult movie, but a movie that was, I guess, I actually watched it, and it was R-rated, and I should not have been there, and had terrible nightmares, maybe not even really considered a horror movie by most, but it absolutely scarred me as a child for a while, was Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
So what?
Absolutely... I was fascinated by it, but it scared me to death.
Roughly, what age you think? What age range?
I was probably
25.
6 or 7, maybe, oh, okay. I guess. I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's 7. I mean, that could be a brutal movie at 6 or 7. All right, Elliot?
Well, you know, you've got Sarah Connor watching everybody get nuked. After, you know, these children playing in playing, you know, on teeter-totters and seesaws, and then they get nuked. And then you got Liquid Terminator, who's not going to stop. Then you got Arnold Schwarzenegger flaying his own arm in that movie.
Now that you mentioned it, it is a pretty screwed.
There's a lot of stuff. I used to have recurring nightmares about Robert Patrick just running after me. Just as fast as he could.
That's justifiable.
The scene where they break into the insane asylum to get Sarah Connor out. That's straight up horror movie. I mean,
it is. Well, the part where he kills the poor little guy that goes and gets the coffee, you know.
Yeah. There's that.
The overweight security guard guy that goes and gets the coffee, and he's like, "Oh, look, Full House," and he's like, "Crank" through his face. or like, you know, the part where they're in the phone booth, and he's like, you know, what's your dog's name? You know that part. And then, you know, he does the whole thing. And then he's like, your foster parents are dead. And it cuts to him. And that woman's just got her fist, you know, as a Liquid Terminator, through her husband's, you know, face, pretty much. Killing him with a big metal arm. It was a lot for a 7-year-old.
Well, that age makes a difference. You're right. That is basically as horror can get. Especially because it's made
mind around it, you know. Yeah. Was made really well. The effects were crazy at the time. I'm like, you didn't really watch anything like that. You know, it's kind of state of the art at the time. I just could not fathom what was happening. And I just kind of latched onto it and blown it out of proportion in my young mind. But
That was the point in which we realized Gertie was mentally unstable.
Yep.
It was due to a very early viewing of Terminator 2.
Yep. I've known it for a while now.
So. I'll just sit by myself and hear me go, bum, 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 bum.
So, Elliot, what's yours?
It's a weird movie that I'm sure not a lot of people have heard of.
But I've heard of it at least once.
At least once tonight.
30 minutes ago.
I was, it's that golden age of 7 years old. I was 7 years old when I watched this. This came out in 1986. I don't know why my mother took me to a theater to watch this. I still can't figure that one out, but I don't know the lead actor's name. The name of the movie is House. It's all about an author who, you know, he's kind of like Stephen King, and he's had a lot of bad luck. His wife has left him. Their son's disappeared. His aunt has committed suicide, and she leaves him a house. So he goes to this house to write about his experience in the Vietnam War, and it all goes downhill from there. It's a straight-up ghost story. It stars.
There was a lot of, like, Vietnam War horror, I guess veteran horror at that point in time, wasn't there? Like this, like Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you got to look at the time. We're, what, 10 years removed from one of the most, you know. But it had George Wendt from Cheers was in it. I think he played the next-door neighbor. And then Richard Mall, Bull from Night Court, was in it too. He played one of the demon or ghosts or demons in the house. And it's just one of those movies that have stuck with me because it's, you know, one of the first scary things I can remember. It's not a straight up horror movie though. I tend to go for like the horror slash comedy. Maybe that's where the podcast roots come from. I don't know, because we like to laugh at scary stuff. But House from 1986. So check that out if you've never heard of it.
And, you know, I know I ask you guys what age you're around in that. And I'm sure that has some important psychological aspect that we're not going to cover because this is not talk junkie and I don't have to be serious. But I have no memory. I don't know why. I don't know what insignificant childhood trauma took that from me, but I just don't have the ability to remember what happened at what age. But I know I was very young. And the first movie I ever remember seeing that really kind of, I was like, you know, this is not, you know, the Muppets. This is something different. I know I was in school, but I had to be kindergarten, first grade. And I was in my room, into the hallway, and had two cousins that babysitted me. And they were there, and I heard a movie going. And so I just walk down the hallway, walk in, sit down. And it is the first Nightmare on Elm Street. I didn't finish it, watch a ton of it, but I did kind of get a glimpse of it, a pretty good shot of it. And it wasn't in my mind very long after that I watched the first Halloween with them at their house. And for whatever reason, Krueger didn't scare me. I went on to watch them all. I apparently have the ability to lucid dream and always have. Didn't know what that was at that time, but ever since, as far back as I can remember, if I have a dream, I know that it's a dream, and I'm kind of, you know, I can't do superhuman things. I can't Neo and the Matrix in it, but like the whole time I'm aware, okay, this is a dream, whether it's good, bad, whatever it is. So Freddy didn't scare me, but seeing that first Halloween really freaked me out, because to me, Freddy was this cartoon character. It can't be real, whatever. At that time, seeing my
Freddy Myers, jokes and, you know, and he's kind of outlandish. And
yeah, he has a morbid sense of humor. I didn't then, but I do now. But Michael Myers freaked me out because I've seen some dudes within 20 minutes of where I live in the head of some deep, dark hollers that a little more scary than Michael Myers, but still fit the profile. So that kind of spooked me. And that gets me more to maybe what I consider horror as what other people consider horror. Like classic horror movies, the slashers, you know, all of those, any camp, sleepaway camp, you know, anything that involves sleepovers, I consider that, you know, that slasher style deal, I definitely associate with horror. Anything kind of like evil, Pinhead, you know, anything of that nature, anything demonic to any degree, I kind of consider horror. But then you get into things like maybe the first Amityville. That was a movie that, for somebody that doesn't really like horror, I really liked that first Amityville. I think it's horror, I guess, but I think it's definitely a different type, because when you get into those ghost things, like that just, it intrigues me on a different level than, say, the slashers do. But I've always heard people mention things like The Fly, or the big one to me, Lost Boys, as being horror movies, and I don't really kind of see them as that. And if I had
The Fly, but more or less more body horror, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Well, see, that's a term I recently learned and didn't understand what that was. So, like, if when I think horror movie, for whatever reason, like, you take out Saw, things like that, because to me, when it's a real person doing it, and I know that's newer movies, but that's a real person doing it. When it's a real person, like American Psycho, those scare the crap out of me, because that's possible. Like, not that any of the rest of it may or may not be, but that's really possible, because people kind of go off, you know, like serial killers, they go off that deep end occasionally. But when I think horror in reference to film, to me, I guess what I always fall back to is slashers. And I guess, what is it for you guys that when you think horror, that's the first thing that comes to mind? That genre or that character, what's the first thing that kind of hits you when you think horror?
Universal monsters. I know they're old, and they're, you know, the 50s, 40s, you know, whatever, but they are the mainstays. Dracula, Frankenstein, werewolf, Creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's the Wolfman.
It's Frankenstein.
And Frankenstein's monster. But yeah, so I mean, those kinds of things to me are classic horror. And one of the best horror movies, it's not in our retro cult area tonight, but if you ever get a chance to watch it, and I know people are going to roll their eyes when they hear this, but it's true, is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. You got me saying it wrong.
It's Igor.
Yes. But seriously, if you get a chance to watch it, it's one of the best horror movies. It's scary, but it's also funny. And like, it's just a really good movie.
Well, I can see that. I the older movies get, maybe the scarier they get to me. Like, you know, you go Hitchcock, most of Hitchcock's stuff was real people kind of at that psychotic edge, and that is scary to me. But the big monsters are definitely, you know, when I think Halloween, obviously, and you know, costumes throughout the decades reflect it. When you think Halloween, that's probably the first thing you think. I'm a big vampire guy. To me, those, especially Frankenstein, Wolfman, and Dracula, those three alone kind of represent Halloween maybe more so than any other creatures out there.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, just the fact, look at how many different versions of those characters there are. You know, all the way from the Dracula that we saw on film, you know, the Nosferatu, and then all the way up to now you're looking at, I don't know if you've watched this on Netflix yet, but it's called Midnight Mass. Have you seen this?
No.
Watch it. I'm not going to tell you anything else about it because I don't want to ruin anything. One of the best modern day horror shows, films, anything that I've ever experienced. It's psychological, it's religious, it's creepy, it's just, you need to watch it. It's really good. And then I think the Wolfman, you know, just that beast inside of you, you know, wanting to break loose and do as much harm as you can, that's just something that's in everybody's brain to begin with, I think. You know, so all of these movies are just, to me, those universal monsters are, you know, that's the key to Halloween for me.
I can see that. And one movie I'd like to mention in terms of Dracula, and I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but I think it's Dracula 2000.
No, where Gerard Butler plays Dracula.
Yes, the storyline, the ideal of that storyline, not There's parts of the movie is definitely not as good as some other Dracula movies. There's some parts where it's lacking, but to me, the storyline and the history of Dracula in that one, it's my favorite iteration of that of all time. Like, that's, to me, if I got to canonize one, and it's the gospel of what happened to Dracula, that's the one I like to go to. All right, Gertie, what is it? What's that one thing? Is it slasher? Is it scantily clad sleepaway camp ladies? Is it Freddy's fried face? Is it a tongue coming out of a phone?
It's a combo of all of it, and I think that's Friday the 13th. It's Jason Voorhees for me. Ooh. You know, you've got a camp, you've got a monster, you've got scantily clad women, you've got all kinds of stuff in that.
We're going to have to talk about that, Gertie.
Sleeping bag tacos.
He mentioned, you know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
scantily clad women.
Unfortunately.
If you can pick somebody up in a sleeping bag and then beat them to death against a tree, you know.
That's Shakespearean. At best. I mean, I don't know why the slashers kind of do it for, like, I'm excited. I think it's next week we're going to see the Halloween Kills.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited for that. Like, I didn't hate the last one. I think everybody else hated it. I'm not looking for a strong story or superb acting when I watch horror. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis. But I like the last one. I'm looking forward to this one. The zombie ones were a little too bloody for me. I don't know. I love his music, but I'm not a fan of his movies per se. But I'm excited for this new one. And, you know, the way you talked about those monsters, I think to me, Freddy, Jason, and Michael are kind of that for me.
Modern day kind of equivalent. Yeah,
it's the Trinity. The unholy Trinity, I guess.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Now, we kind of covered all these different aspects, and that was my goal for that. Is, you know, what got you exposed on the lighter side? What do you look at? But to me, comedy trumps all, and as far as funny goes.
Oh,
when you
so
think
many.
Horror, what's, and it don't have to be one, what's a couple, what's two or three? Like, I know there's one just based on a conversation we had the other day on your guys' podcast. I know there's one Gertie and I share in The Burbs. I would consider Burbs comedy horror. And I can't, it's almost to the level of something like Ghostbusters, where it definitely doesn't, well, it is, it doesn't have to be Halloween. If Burbs is on, I'm watching it.
Oh yeah, summertime for sure. It's appropriate.
It's got more of a summer feel.
Christmas,
to it, you know.
It's appropriate.
Look, when I do my Christmas movies, because like people consider Gremlins a horror movie, it may be, but it is most definitely a Christmas movie. When I give out my list of movies that are Christmas movies that people don't realize, that's probably where the hate mail is going to start flowing in, because apparently that's a big no, you can't talk about. But what's
kiss,
another
kiss,
comedy
bang
movie?
Bang.
Fair enough. I mean,
but I've got if a couple. If I have to pick a funny comedy horror movie, and this is more along the lines of things that I watch that I really, really enjoy, there's two that stand out, one from the 80s, one from the 90s. One of them people are going to disagree with me on, but I think it's more comedy than spooky. The 80s one is The Monster Squad. Absolutely love The Monster Squad. I think it's one, and that goes back to your Universal Monsters. It goes back to comedy. It goes back to kids going on an adventure. Those are all the things I love. And then the 90s one is Scream, the original Scream. One of the funniest scary movies I've ever, between Deputy Dewey and Matthew Willard's character, and just, you know,
Jamie Kennedy
in there too, and just I mean, I was laughing as much as I was, you know, freaking out a little bit there for Scream. So I'm really thinking that's, you know, two good choices there.
I just watched Monster Squad like last weekend, and I love it. It's funny, and I think it really reflects what you were saying about those monsters, because they didn't have to set up who is Dracula. They didn't have to set up who is Wolfman. They didn't have to set up who's the monster from the, was it the Black Lagoon? Like,
yes.
You didn't have to set that up. They were able to skip that. You know, you kind of got to give Freddy's background the first time you see Freddy, or you got to give Jason or Michael's background. You don't have to. These people are synonymous with horror and people know who they are. But in regards to Scream, that's most definitely my wife's favorite movie. And it's one of those movies she can watch year round, you know, about any time. And I'm pretty well to that part, to that point with it, to where I do kind of reserve it more for Halloween, but I will watch it any opportunity I get. But to me, it's in regards of just what I consider slasher horror, because I consider it more of a slasher comedy. It's my favorite. And of all the movies I sit and think about horror movies, Scream's probably my favorite. I think Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which is one that I think everybody seems to hate.
I love it.
I liked, because they break the fourth wall.
And absolutely.
To me, maybe they went a little too far with that part of it, but I liked it. And, you know, I'd always maintained up till the point I saw Scream, and not really till the first time I saw it, because I think it was my wife that really kind of made me appreciate it more, because I really sit down and paid attention to it. But up to that point, Dream Warriors was probably my favorite horror movie, because you got to see people fight back. Freddy was really funny. But when I seen Scream, that kind of changed it all for me. It breaks the fourth wall. It's making fun of the industry itself. It's written very well. I can get past Skeet Ulrich's tics, and I can get past Neve Campbell's tics, because Matthew Lillard saves it. And like, I don't know. It to me, it may be the best combination of two or three genres of horror put together with a lot of comedy in it. And it's one that I'll watch every time it comes on. Whereas, like, you know, I'm not running to watch Jason Takes Manhattan, other than to maybe make fun of it every time it comes on, you know. And same way with the new Nightmare, I'm not crazy about it. There's a lot of horror movies I'll check out on and I won't see. And with Scream, it's definitely far and away my favorite.
I'm looking forward to the new one, Scream 5, I guess. That they're somehow wrapping it back up with Scream 1. I'm just looking forward to it. But
if we can bring Matthew Lillard back, I'm game.
That's the rumor I'm hearing. I don't know how true it is, but you know, they said that you never did really say he was dead. You know,
that's true. I mean, I guess he just went to jail. I mean, if he lived,
cut him real bad, Billy. You cut him.
Well, I think his mom and dad were going to be upset with him was really the biggest part of it he was worried about.
Oh my God, they're going to be so mad at me.
One of the things I'm planning on doing every week with this show is giving at least one movie recommendation based on what I talk about that week. And as far as horror goes, because I think it works well with younger people and older people, I think Scream would be that recommendation. But to kind of get you in the mindset for Matthew Lillard, I recommend Slackers, SLC Punk, and then Scream in that order.
Listen, Matthew Lillard, again, we can say what we want to, but this kind of ties into Halloween. If you want to see an actor become a character, Scooby-Doo, I'm telling you, he is Shaggy, 110%.
Oh, yeah. I think he's done phenomenal. Like, he's one of them guys. I like what he does. SLC Punk's one of those movies, not really a Halloween movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one of those movies, like, it makes me cry. It definitely makes me laugh. Like, it makes me happy to see it. It makes me happy I didn't get into the punk scene. Yeah, there's a lot of it that makes me happy in that movie. And it really is. It's one of my, I don't think I could ever do a top 10, but I could definitely do a top 100, because I just wouldn't have the heart to place movies. It's definitely in that top 100. And I know it seems like a lot of movies, but for me, that's hard to get down to that point.
Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about all these different aspects of movies. The longer you talk to me, you'll find that with me, the worse a movie is, not on purpose, but just the worse it is by pure accident, the more I like it. So I'm inherently a B movie person. It's just, I can't help it. I'm not ashamed of it. I embrace it. B movies are my thing. What is the worst, best horror movie you've ever seen?
That's hard. I love a movie called Nothing But Trouble.
Oh, such a good movie. Yes, it's such a good movie.
I would constitute that as my pick for best worst movie.
That may be something that needs to be on that must watch list, because I mean, the cast is phenomenal, and it's really a huge cast, and it's definitely got horror aspects for sure. I think the comedy is just so strong, you kind of forget that.
Well, I mean, you have like titans of comedy, like Dan Aykroyd and John Candy and Chevy Chase.
Look, I'm all for anything involving Chevy characters or John Candy. So,
I mean, and the soundtrack brought us Tupac Shakur. So, you know, hey,
Tupac is in the movie.
That is right. He's in the courtroom scene. They perform. Who is he with? He's with a different band.
Digital Underground.
Underground. The Humpty Dance.
Same song is the name of the song from the movie.
Yep. See, now you know, children, and no one's half the battle. You've learned something today. Elliot, what is the worst, best horror movie you've ever seen?
Oh, the worst, best horror movie I ever saw. It goes back to, I think it's the movie that just, I hate it because there's so much that's wrong with it, but everybody loves it. So it's one of those movies that I can just sit and make fun of while everybody else is so into it. It's Jeepers Creepers. I just cannot... How does a demon get a vanity license plate? Can anybody explain this to me? As soon as that happened, I was out of the movie. I was done. I couldn't take it serious anymore.
It's pretty rough. Like, and I don't understand the love for it. I mean, I don't know. It's in fairness, horror movie wise, I'm kind of, but to me, it's almost like a parody that doesn't realize it's trying to be a parody, because there's some bad acting, which there isn't a lot of horror films, I know, but it's not a strong movie.
No, and you can see the zipper. Like, I know that's a trope, and people are like, you can see, no, you can straight up see the demon zipper, and he has a vanity license plate. I was out. I couldn't take it. My friends all were like, we're never going to the movies with you again, because I was just, I couldn't, I complained the entire time. Oh, it was just horrible.
I mean, I never understood how there was a part two. The dude's basically a human or a demon cicada. You know when he's coming back. You know, I didn't get that part. For me, I mean, the best, worst movie is hard, because I got a big list of those. But if I had to narrow it down, and it's something that if somebody listened to this and they took it away, something from it, they went to watch one of the movies that I couldn't name, I think I'd have to go Killer Clowns from Outer Space. I don't see the bad in it, but I know there's definitely bad there, because it's definitely a B movie.
One of the best theme songs I've ever heard. See, that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of, it's weird because I like horror movies, like I said, but, and one of the things that really attracts me to a good horror movie is the soundtrack. Like, most of the movies I watch that stay in my head have a really good soundtrack for whatever reason. I don't know why, they just do. Jason versus Freddy, really good soundtrack. Scream, really good soundtrack. Lost Boys, really good soundtrack, you know. And then Killer Clowns from Outer Space, that song is always on my, you know, Halloween list. It's not on the Spooky Family's Halloween list, but it's always on my Halloween list to listen to that song around Halloween. So I agree with you, though. That is an awesome movie and an awesome pick.
When you get in that vein of those, you know, like Toxic Avenger, Surf Nazis Must Die, that type of stuff, like, I think all those are good representations of that. The two movies, though, that I think if one of the two is going to kind of make it out is Killer Clowns, or Hell Comes to Frogtown. A lot of people stick They Live on that list, and how they do that, I have no clue, because to me, They Live is just a classic. I don't really consider it horror by any, if anything, sci-fi. Somehow it pops up on a lot of horror lists, but to me, Killer Clowns is that one that is so bad, and they didn't intend to make it bad, but it's so bad, it's good. It's not The Room or Samurai Cop level bad. So it in return is not to their level of good, but it's definitely a top-notch bad good movie. And actually, I could probably do a whole podcast on just those every episode, because those are what I'm drawn to. If you've never seen Birdemic, that's definitely something if you can sit through, you need to watch.
Birdemic? No, I've missed that
yeah.
one.
Yeah, well, boy. I think everybody did except for about five of us, it's rough. It's next level rough, actually. It's pretty bad. But if you haven't seen Samurai Cop, we gotta stop talking B movies. I'm gonna get into that. So I sent you guys a message when you guys volunteered to be tortured through this process with me, and then I didn't record it for 30 minutes, and I asked you guys to make up some kind of list and do this, and then we didn't do any of that, and I forgot about all of it because I don't prepare and I do things off the top of my head, and I'm a really horrible host in those aspects. So having said that, I don't remember what list I asked you to make, but what is your favorite? And it doesn't have to be horror, it doesn't have to be blood and guts, or it can be if that's what it is, you know, regardless of kind of genre or where it falls in. What's your favorite Halloween themed movie, or not themed, but I mean Halloween eccentric movie, the movie that this is Halloween when you watch it?
Well, right off the bat,
Before you get started, like, I know this is a retro cast, but if that's a modern movie, that's cool. It doesn't matter, whatever, wherever it comes from.
Okay. So right off the bat, Carpenter's Halloween is the perfect representation to me of the holiday. I agree. There's another podcast I listened to where they said that, you know how TBS plays A Christmas Story 24 hours on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Somebody out there needs to pick up Halloween and play it 24 hours on Halloween.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that's a perfect movie. Then the one that sticks with me, though, is the one that scarred me when I was little, is Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead is just, I don't know why. I can sit through The Exorcist. I can sit through any of these movies, but Pumpkinhead just tore me up when I was little, and I've never recovered from it. I've never been able to watch it again. We met Lance Henriksen. He's one of the nicest people in the world, but that movie is it's horrible for me. And to me, those two movies are Halloween. You know what I'm saying? If I want to get scared, Pumpkinhead. If I want a classic Halloween, and then if I have to go modern, just because you said we could, Trick or Treat with the little Sam that dresses like a pumpkin. It's an anthology movie of stories. I love it too. And now I've talked way too much, so I'll shut up.
No, that's fine. Gertie?
Well, I might cheat. I have five to me there. That's good. That I haven't spoken about, but that five that I really like that are my favorites. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, is one of my favorite spooky time movies, or any time movie, really. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, not the television show, but the movie. The Frighteners.
Oh, that's a good one. That's not a common pick, but it's such a good movie.
Tremors.
Another classic.
And Arachnophobia.
Ooh, I'm afraid of spiders to a certain degree. Like, not crazy afraid like I am of snakes. I'll kill one and stuff. John Goodman in that movie.
It's hilarious. It's funny. He's super funny.
It's that's one of the best roles. I think, like, next to his role in Big Lebowski, that may be my favorite John Goodman role.
I love King Ralph. Nobody I likes do like King Ralph. But me.
King Ralph's a good movie.
I love John Goodman, but that's beside the point.
I think those are solid choices.
Well,
to me, and this is, I guess, kind of the more kid side. I mean, I'm like you. I've got multiple. It's hard for me to, as you've probably in your time with Elliot realized, he generally is correct most of the time. And I do think, I mean, Jesus, it's in the name of the movie. When I see Halloween on or I hear Halloween, I automatically think Halloween. It could be something in the spelling. I don't know. But Halloween and Scream are kind of those two up there as far as what most people consider that. And when I see the one of those where I think Halloween horror, I think that. But the two movies that I have the strongest connection with that I don't consider horror at all is Beetlejuice and Ghostbusters 2. I think Ghostbusters 2 more than Ghostbusters 1, even though I do prefer 1 over 2, because for whatever reason, growing up, I seen it more around the holiday. And so for that reason, I don't think I associate 1 as much with the holiday as I do 2. But now, Beetlejuice. See,
I've got to jump in for a second, because you were talking about movies that most people don't think of as Christmas movies that really are. Ghostbusters 2
is a Christmas movie. It's on my list. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Absolutely. And I think this list is going to make a lot of people angry because for some reason people get angry over that. And I said, you never hear that about Halloween. You know, you can kill one person. And, oh, it's Halloween. Because to me, Beetlejuice really has nothing to do with Halloween whatsoever. But I may have a level of affection for the Beetlejuice movie that's borderline unsafe. I don't know. I'm pretty well that Michael Keaton is two things to me. He's Batman and he's Beetlejuice. And
oh yeah.
I keep hoping. I'm glad they didn't make the sequel they had planned, because the sequel they had planned would have sucked. Look, nobody's saving that sequel. The whole Beetlejuice on some tropical island that's vacation. That's not gonna work. But I would like to see the sequel to finally come out. The cartoon was good. I liked the cartoon, you know. But those are kind of those ones that...
It's funny you said that, because, you know, the Addams Family sequel, the cartoon sequel, is getting ready to come out in theaters. And it's them on a tropical island on vacation. So,
well, you got to reuse a script here and there. Yeah,
do with that what you will.
Come yeah. on, I watched the first one of those. And actually, we watched it last night with my son. I am a big fan of the 90s Addams Family, but I'm also a big fan of the original show. I liked it when I was younger. Still do. Still like the movies to a certain degree. The second movie, a little off for me. That cartoon just...
Both of the movies are great.
Oh, yeah. I like them. The first one's more... they lost me a little bit. I can't... If I'm being honest, they lost me a little bit on the second one. But the cartoon...
Joan Cusack is so good in that movie.
It's just not a bad movie. It's just...
But what about Debbie? What did I ask for? Malibu Barbie. It's one of my favorite movies.
I need to go back and revisit this. I could be wrong. Maybe it's...
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
This well, guys, is the hill that Gertie will die on.
This, well, you got, and then you got Raul Julia and Nathan Lane button heads, where Raul Julia does that big monologue at Nathan Lane.
Nathan Lane's one of those actors.
The temptress of Waikiki. And so
Nathan Lane is a dude that's just always naturally funny. Like, there's movies I didn't think I would like. What is it? The Producers.
Yeah,
that. It didn't sound like them, because I don't know, like
Springtime for Hitler.
Yes, it's not. It didn't sound like the type of movie I would like. And then I watched it, and I was like, "Well, that's, you know, really good." And Robin Williams is another one of those actors. Like, he'll do a movie that I don't think I'll like Requiem for a Dream. Is that what's called, the sad one with Cuba Gooding Jr.? He does that, and he makes me sad.
And no, that's What Dreams May Come.
What Dreams May Come.
Requiem for a Dream is like Jared Leto and the woman from The Rocketeer.
Oh, that's why I don't Labyrinth. Have a good. Yeah, that's why I don't have a good memory of that movie. It's because Jared Leto.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I really appreciate the fact that you let me waste 30 minutes of your time that I didn't get to record, and then you stuck through it with the amateur and done it again. I'm really glad you guys got to be on my first episode because that was cool. It didn't have to just be me by myself. I got to have two really interesting people on it. And I had a really good time doing it with you guys. But like I said, every episode, I kind of wanted to do that one movie I wanted to leave everybody with that I think they should watch. And I have, in the last hour, found out that you guys have really excellent taste in movies, probably better than myself. So what is the one movie that maybe they haven't heard of? Maybe it's something that, okay, we can say Beetlejuice because it may be the greatest Michael Keaton movie of all time. You know, you can say those big movies. Everybody's seen them probably. If not, they've at least heard about them. Maybe there's something that they've not heard about you think they should see, or there's something that everybody's talked about it and you need to reinforce the fact that this movie has to be seen. And it can be modern, it can be old, it can be whatever.
Katie, I'll let you go first. Well, actually, I'll jump in. Here we go.
Okay.
I'll let Gertie think about it because here I've already mentioned this once, but I feel like if you're out there, you need to watch this. This is probably the most well-written, well-acted, just amazing piece of film that I've seen in a long time. It is on Netflix. It's called Midnight Mass. Watch it. Listen, I loved it. I'm usually not a person who can sit down and binge watch a show unless it's like a comedy. I could watch The Office 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Same with
Parks and Rec. And you do.
Same with Parks and Rec. Same with 30 Rock. You know, I could watch those over and over again. But Midnight Mass may be one of the best. Just, it's art and it's amazing. And it's fantastic. So that's my pick, Midnight Mass. It's a television show. There's seven or eight episodes.
I think it's seven.
And they're about an hour long each. It's amazing though. It's just, watch it if you get a chance.
Well, Netflix always does amazing stuff. They have TV kind of tried to die there for a moment, I think. And these streaming services, especially Netflix, have kind of breathe some life back into that art form to a point that I think a lot of these newer shows, because I've never been a TV guy. I was a TV guy in the 80s, late 90s. The X-Files went off the air, and I was like, okay, I don't need TV anymore. And I pretty well didn't watch it. Like, I saw Lost 4 or 5 years after it had, you know, pretty well seen its peak, and Walking Dead, I think I made it through 2 or 3 seasons of that. There's not a lot of shit. Like, I've seen... And I'm not saying this to be one of those guys. I've seen the British Office. I've not seen the U.S. Office more than 2 or 3 episodes. And it's not because I think all the British versions are better. It's just, I like Ricky Gervais. I think Derek's one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I liked the British Office. And they kind of wrap it
that's
up.
That's one of Elliot's favorite shows too, isn't it, Elliot? Where'd he go?
Apparently he didn't like that show.
No, I'm still here. Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows. I was talking, but I was muted. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite shows.
You like a reality show with Ricky Gervais in it, don't you?
Well, yeah, An Idiot Abroad. Have you ever watched An Idiot
Abroad? No, I have not.
Listen, it's got Carl Pilkington. It's Stephen Fry. Is it Stephen Fry?
No, it's not Stephen Fry.
Who is it? Who's the other guy?
It's the big tall guy. With the glasses. What is his name?
It's Ricky Gervais's partner. And they have a buddy. His name is Carl Pilkington. And they send him to these places. And
he's a very backwards British man.
He's a very backwards.
He doesn't like people. He doesn't like to go places. And they're like, today you're going to go to China.
Oh, how did he just say bye?
Yeah, and he doesn't eat like anything. So he brings like potato chips from London with him.
And that's all he eats.
Yeah, and they make him do things that he doesn't want to. Like, they'll be like, okay, you're going to go to this hotel, but first, you're going to have to camp in the swamp or something. And like, it's amazing. You have to watch it.
Ricky Gervais does uncomfortable so well. Like he yes. can, like with Derek, he can do good. Like he can do more of a heartfelt. Like I really loved that character, but you look at him in that office. Like I could imagine him doing something like this because he can be so just awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
The second season has it's him and Warwick Davis go around, right, Bobby?
No, that's the third season.
Or Elliot.
The third season. It's okay. Yes. It's the third season that's him and Warwick Davis. And
Davis season, Willow and
But Justin, listen, it will change your life. Go find
Return of the Jedi. Oh. He is
Wicket the Ewok. But real quick before I get off here, I'm sorry, guys. Something occurred to me while we were talking, and I need to mention it before we leave. Another pick that everybody out here needs to go watch, and this is truly retro, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken with Don Knotts. Ooh. If you get a chance, watch that. Excellent. I'm sorry. I'll leave you all alone now and let Gertie get to her pick. The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. Check it out.
Another solid choice.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's two, and they're both Stephen King adaptations, and they're both by the man that did Midnight Mass.
Wow. So,
yeah. But one is Dr. Sleep.
I have not seen that yet. If you like really The Shining. I wanted to see that. I did. Yeah. And that's kind of why I've been trying to get time to watch it. That is definitely one I want to watch.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. I really liked it. Which I liked the novel too. So, but they did change some stuff in it, but it was, I mean, it's better served, I guess, for, you know, to make it into a movie as opposed to just have, you know, the Stephen King book, but it makes sense. That's good. And then the other one is Gerald's Game.
I've never heard of that.
That is on Netflix. That's a loud car. Sorry, everybody.
it's also done by the guy who did Midnight Mass
and Dr. Sleep. Yeah, it's all the same. All the same guy. But it's really good. But it's a little bit. It's dark. It has some themes in it that are a little bit hard for some people to watch, just to say. Just check out the ratings and the warnings when you turn on the movie on Netflix, kind of thing.
Not something for the children.
No.
Wu-Tang for the children. That not so much.
Yeah.
Diversify your bonds.
Maybe the greatest show of all time, actually. I guess I'm going to stick with Scream. And the reason I say that is if you've never seen a horror movie at all and you don't know the rules of the horror movie and you don't know how it's supposed to work and you've never had the twist ending and any of this, you kind of get it all in one spot. It may not be the best horror movie of all time, may not be the best slasher movie, but I think it does everything well enough, and it's got quite a bit of history and you know, with what's Jamie Kennedy's character, mm-hmm. you kind of get somebody that kind of lays out the history of how horror films are supposed to work and stuff for you. So I think that would be it. Now, if I was going to go modern and TV show, this is probably more sci-fi, but it's got a little bit of the horror aspect to it, being that I don't watch a ton of modern TV. I would go probably Lovecraft Country. I'm kind of a fan of what Lovecraft done, not of his beliefs. Horrible human being, excellent writer. You know,
I absolutely love Lovecraft Country. I'll second that one. It's an excellent show.
You bought the novel, didn't you, Elliot?
The book is fantastic. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's everything is good, but that is a great choice. So it's on HBO Max too.
Yes,
anybody's looking for that one. Yeah.
Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys being on here. And as far as anybody looking for the show, I guess I should have probably mentioned this at the beginning. If you're listening to Talk Junk and you're like, what is this? Let me start out my angry email about how he's not been serious on this episode. This is not Talk Junkie. This is Retro Cult. But I'm putting the first episode on there. That way I can maybe make mad the people that like to write the angry emails, because I do enjoy getting them. And also maybe let some of the other people that listen to my show get an idea of what else I'm doing. So that's why it's kind of airing on both. If you do want to contact the show, you got any ideas on episodes or any comments over anything we've said, or you want to send hate email, I love hate email. I like happy email too. I just don't get as much of it, but I love hate email. You can send that to retrocultpodcast@gmail.com. And I really should have worked on that name some, because I sit and say it to myself all the time, and I'll say retro cult retro of the cult of the retro, and really just all the good names were taken, and I had to come down to those two words, and I'm not super creative, and there you go. That's what you got. But email me. I do have Facebook. I'm working on an Instagram, but I hate social media, so I don't know when that's coming. I'm not good at promoting my stuff. You guys are really good at promoting your stuff. You've got the commercials. You put commercials other places. I think that's why people listen to your ass show. I've not figured out yet why they listen to my other show. I don't know why they'll listen to this one either, but I'm not a good promoter. I don't really care to promote it. You give me 5 or 6 solid listeners, and I'm not completely talking to myself all the time, that's good enough for me. But thank you guys for being on the show. Anything you guys want to plug before we leave?
Hey, thank you for having us. And Spooky Family Podcast, we drop every Thursday. We've got the big Halloween song playlist coming up the Thursday before Halloween. Make sure you check that out. We've worked a long time on that one. We're really happy with that. That's about it. I mean, thank you for having us. Listen, Justin, you are by far one of my favorite people in podcasting. I'm so glad that you let us on your show. I'm going to shut up because I've said too much as it is.
Now that we've determined Elliot has poor taste, you got anything you need to say before you leave, Gertie?
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember, email the show, watch those movies we picked out, and Wu-Tang is for the children.